Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour 5 of the Nation going until 7 o'clock tonight here. And then we'll hand it off to the Cowboys Hour, Brad Sham with Kevontae Turpin. Then you'll get the Fan After Dark, Fred Blaker in throwing heat, getting ready for their show this evening. Time now for the audio celebration of game day. Here's Wolchuk and Chiafalo with two guys in a booth.
All right, let's celebrate a 9-hour Cowboys game day here on 105.3 The Fan. So we take the best things heard in the pregame show. During the game.
Or the worst.
Post-game. Or the worst. Usually the worst from that pregame show. I'll tell you, you never know what's going to happen in that pregame show.
Amen. Let's go ahead and kick this thing off.
It's time for two guys, one booth.
You know, I'm surprised that we didn't get a post-game crash out, like Cowboy crash outs. I figured the post-game might have a handful of moments that could be playable in two guys, one booth. But we are 0-for-3 in post-game additions to the two guys, one booth.
Yeah, blame the callers.
Segment, I do. Yeah, I blame the callers.
I think the callers asked some really good questions.
I also blame Wolchuk for being too polished and not not flubbing on some things.
Yeah, I know.
Some reads here, there.
I don't want to jinx myself.
Yeah, you don't want to jinx yourself, and I'm proud of you. I think you're going to go.
I think that's troublesome for the Cowboys. If no callers crashed out on their postgame show.
It was full.
That means expectations are low.
I think a lot of it
is like, oh, okay, it's just what we got, and let's talk about it calmly. How do we get out of this, guys?
Yeah.
Call my guys Wolchuk and Broadus. Nothing to freak out about here. We all knew they were garbage.
Yeah.
I think you're onto something. I really do.
And I think so the Cowboys are going to have two bad years in a row. This might set up for an actual move in free agency. They failed in the drafts. They don't have an assembly line of players coming through that are about to get paid. They have cap space. It might actually line up for an exciting offseason. We just got to wait 14 games to get there.
I have a crazy idea, and I'm too scared to bring it up, so I won't. But
please don't.
If I was Jason Kelce's wife right now, I'd be making sure I keep eyes on Steve Smith because Jason Kelce's all dressed up in Baltimore Ravens band gear right now.
Oh, you
just
know
something
he's
to
get,
just something to be careful.
Get a little excited,
Mrs. Kelce. All right, we get you to the pregame show where I screw things up and Brad Sham dunks on me.
All right, we're 20 minutes to kick off here on the official pregame show of the Dallas Cowboys. Let's go live to Chicago Soldier Field and welcome in the voice of the Cowboys, Brad Sham, as we go inside the booth. Brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort, the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Brad, happy game day, man. How you doing?
Good. It's good to be here in Chicago.
Yeah. Son of a gun. Welp.
I'm listening, Eric. I'm listening.
You are. You are. Are you ready? Is that voice ready to call a bunch of touchdowns today, Brad?
No. No, I'm not. So, in fact, I think what I'll do is go to the booth right behind our position here and get a couple of hot dogs and an Old Style.
There we go.
Because I'm not sure they're selling Miller Lite here.
No.
Yes. What kind of a question is that?
Unfortunately, there's just one.
I love that drop, though. We're going to have to...
Yes, what kind of question is that?
What kind of crappy question is that? Brad Sham in his bag to start the game. And the thing about Brad is he's too polished to make mistakes himself. And you'll find that out throughout the duration of this particular segment.
I'm sure we'll get to Brad.
He's an absolute veteran. He's a legend. And he's a flub-free environment when Brad's involved.
And we're going to get to hear him coming up at 7 o'clock with Kevontae Turpin. Cowboys, yeah, we're looking forward to that.
Great catch.
All right, I also do love...
Were these some of your personal favorite polls, by the way, on... The broadcast
I had nothing to do with the making of this segment. Brought us the content, just arrived here in my lap, and now we're giving it to the people.
What were you thinking at that point? Were you thinking Secaucus, New Jersey?
No, I was getting ready.
Soldier
I was
Field.
Going from
Soldier.
Chicago to Soldier
okay.
Field,
yeah,
and
I
should have just dumbed it down and just punt it on Soldier altogether.
Let's go to Chicago.
On the Chicago.
Very Matt Eberflus of you.
Yeah.
You
know?
Should have just dumbed it down. Should have. Everything would have been fine.
Gosh dang it.
Happens
My
to the best of us.
Schemes are too intricate.
All right. One thing the Cowboys haven't done, I guess, is like get a ton of penalties this year. Maybe that's a bright spot, or maybe it's not. But we did have a hands
to the
face. What
happened last week against the Giants?
Yeah. Giants just had more. Yeah. All right. Let's go to hands to the face.
Now, Brad, I'm going to ask you a question. You've been doing this a long time. Should hands to the face ever be legal? That was illegal use of hands to
the
face.
Well, under these circumstances, I mean, there are some where it could be a gentle caress.
Okay.
Under these circumstances, I'm going to say no.
Okay, yeah.
No.
Wouldn't it be great if they said he just caressed him? Yeah, no flag.
Yeah. He was just saying, nice boy, nice puppy.
Good puppy. Good boy. Good dog down.
That was great. Now, actually, I did have something to do with that one. I texted immediately.
Caress him. Shout out to Dylan Moore. Dylan Moore pulling him this week.
Is the stiff arm the only point in football you can go to the head? If you got the ball in your hands?
Well, even that, they tried to implement, like, that could be face mask penalty on the offense.
It's just like,
but if you
but you can't, as long as it's, you don't grab.
Yeah. But you can, yeah, with stiff arm, you go to the absolutely. Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, by the way, no Sham tonight. It's going to be Kyle Yeomans.
Oh, crap. Well, don't listen to that.
Oh, that's right. We got a
Rosh
holiday.
Hashanah.
It is Rosh Hashanah. I'll be leaving here in a couple seconds.
Yeah, Sham will miss a game for Rosh Hashanah, won't he? He did a couple years ago.
Yom Kippur he'll miss for sure. Rosh Hashanah, maybe. Yom Kippur's the one. Yeah, you can't miss Yom Kippur. We got to atone.
And you can't miss a Javonte Williams power run.
First down, handoff, Williams. And he stutter step as he tries left. Wow. He won't go down.
Wow.
That should have been a one-yard gain, and he just dragged Dominique Robinson, the defensive end, and three of his close associates 4 yards down to the 30-and-a-half-yard line.
Well, and I'm telling you, after that fumble that he lost on the Cowboys' opening possession, he'll be a man possessed.
Yeah, stay out of his way.
He was. I mean, that guy was just running through a mofo's face over and over and over and over again. He looked like a linebacker playing running back.
Yeah, that swing pass out to the right where he truck sticks a dude and then make sure to dunk on a guy as he goes out of bounds.
He's fun to watch now.
He is. He's awesome. He's going to have to be, instead of making Jake Ferguson the focal point of your offense, throwing line of scrimmage passes to him.
They just took what the defense gave him.
Just the defense is giving you Javonte Williams. Just feed the man.
Feed the beast. All right. They were feeding passes down the field. Hmm. Left and right were the Bears. The Bears, and this isn't going to make you feel good. But Luther Burden, the rookie, well, he got loose.
And the Bears left to right at the 35-yard line. Go with an I formation. Williams with a toss right to Swift. A flea flicker back to Williams, and he's going deep, and he's got a man behind everybody, and it's Burden at the 20. And Luther Burden dances in for the 80-yard, 65-yard Chicago touchdown.
65-yard tutty.
That's right.
It was almost 80. But it was 65. I do love the flea flicker. I think the flea flicker should be called more. The problem is I don't love it when it goes against my team. But I'll never forget the flea flicker to Terry Glenn for a touchdown the Cowboys ran in the mid-2000s. One of the best damn plays little Zach Wilczek ever saw.
Describe it. I don't remember.
It was a passing touchdown to, I think it was might have been a Chad Hutchinson pass.
It's where they handed it to the running back.
Terry Glenn.
It might have been like Avion Kayson.
You might have been in the stadium for that one. Terry Glenn.
You were probably punishing Brad's sushi at the time.
I'll try to find the play and send it to you. I'm sure it's on YouTube.
Yeah,
that was pretty ridiculous right there. But the flea flicker lives on.
The pressure
on.
Was so bad, it was a flea lobber.
So
I think.
The flea flicker is always the handback?
Oh, it's Drew Bledsoe, 71-yard touchdown in 05 to help beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Huh.
Last time they beat the Chiefs, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. That was Dan Campbell with the game-winning touchdown that day at Texas Stadium.
Brad Sham doing his best, I guess, Eric Nadell impersonation.
Snap is back. It's a four-man rush, and Williams has plenty of time and zips it over the middle and throws a ground ball to short. It's picked up by Dansby Swanson, and he makes the throw to first in time.
Dansby Swanson.
I have no idea what's
up. Well, Brad's a Cubs fan.
Cubs.
Yeah, I know, but it just like
ball skipped.
Just him actually doing
just
it.
Just having
right
some
there.
Fun.
Yeah, having a good time.
Getting loose.
You could see multiple times a really crappy player trying to emerge, trying to come to the surface for Caleb Williams. Cowboys just couldn't force it out.
Just, yeah.
Guys, I want to be horrible. Do you want this ball? I mean, I'm overdue for one.
Yeah, I mean, for
I think all seven times they got pressure, I mean, he did find a way to throw an incomplete pass, whether it was sailed it out of bounds, it was low. I mean, if you get pressure on Caleb, you can see why there are issues.
For as gaudy as the numbers were, I mean, he was a negative 9% completion percentage over expectation.
Wow.
I mean, he was still not very good.
That's not good.
The Cowboys were just
not good.
That bad.
But the reason I picked the Bears is you watch the tape. If he's clean, he is good.
Yeah.
Like, he's not horrible. He's just horrible under pressure.
Yeah, he certainly diced him up, and here was another part of it. Again, I don't know what the hell they were doing, but they made it real easy for Cole Kmet.
Williams back in the shotgun, fakes it to Swift, throws it in the back of the end zone, wide open. Touchdown to Cole Kmet, the tight end. Wide open, wide, wide open.
How wide?
Wide, wide.
Wide, wide.
Open. Yeah. That was the deal where I thought they were kind of, you know, the coverage down there.
They just confused each other. Yeah. There's a lot of crap that goes on, man.
I love that Brad's gotten to a point in his career where in the middle of a call, he can basically break into frustrated talk show host.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, it is so good.
It, you know, it relates to the fans.
And the Cowboys' defense was so bad. They had Brad Sham so disoriented that he was actually looking at the replay screen to try and give us the play-by-play.
All right, two-point try. They're going to do a fake to him, and Prescott throws. Sorry, I'm looking at a replay. Snap to Prescott. Looking. Back of the end zone, throw perfect. Right to the post to Jalen Tolbert for two.
Flub-free environment when you're around Brad Sham, and he was doing the thing where he wasn't caring about what was happening on the field, which is just an offense in the huddle. Uh-huh. And he was just looking at the previous play.
Looking.
I think that's a press box location issue. You know, as an older gentleman myself, I would be looking at the monitor trying to do the play-by-play and depending on my spotter and my analyst for some of the details.
Yeah.
It's just such a better look than how far away you are in the press box. I don't think you can even really see numbers unless you got freaking eagle eyes.
That's a low angle press box,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Chicago looks like a good view.
Yeah. Low angle, that one, Tennessee, Commander's Place. Those are the really low press boxes that you could actually see pretty well out of.
Last time I'll try to throw Brad some bail.
All right, let's go to two penalties on 92. And this was a want-to-get-away moment for this individual.
There are two fouls on the play, both by number 92. He was the 12th player running off the field and did not make it out of bounds.
Yeah.
Also offside when he exited the field, number 92.
Sorry.
5-yard penalty, it does result.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Daniel Hardy. I don't mean to laugh at your expense, but that's one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
Yeah, there was a time in college football, remember, not too long ago, where they did not identify the number.
Yes.
They would just call the penalty. Yeah. And he was wishing those times were still around. It was like, okay, 92. He didn't screw up just once. He screwed up twice.
There were a couple times that guy's talking, and I feel like you're in your neighbor's garage, and he's just describing to you how your day went. You know, we're going to take a look at this here for a couple minutes. And
Clay Martin?
Yeah. That was something. Good personality.
He's got a
very
good personality.
Very relaxed, conversational there with his officiating.
Yeah, man, he's very comfortable there at the mic. All right, we close things down with, I guess, a bit of a random Babe Laufenberg story about old Jay Jeezy.
I actually went down south with Jason Garrett.
Ooh.
And I swear I thought he was going to shoot me before he shot a bird. He was that, I mean.
Wonder how many times thoughts occurred to him.
Well, the two of us have never hunted, right? And we got two guys with shotguns going, well, what are we
doing?
What
could go wrong?
And he's swinging that thing around. I'm like, hey.
Yeah. Nervous times.
Was it an interesting picture that they painted there?
Going south with Jay Jeezy.
He was just swinging it around.
Was that W? Was that W that winged his buddy back in the day?
That was the
vice president.
Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney.
Oh.
Yeah, you get out there on some of these hunting trips, man. People aren't paying attention. They're cracking coldies. Like, that was one of the first things that really surprised me about Texas hunting culture is how many folks are out there, like, they're fishing 18 cold beers in, riding around with loaded firearms.
Oh, yeah.
That is
fresh. Hog hunting. And hog hunting's crazy.
Crazy.
You know? Like, those things start running and bullets are flying and ATVs are roaring around and people are freaking 0.15 BAC. This is a surprise.
Yeah, my buddies would be hanging out in a tree with a Rambo knife waiting for a hog
down
to run underneath.
Him.
Yeah,
come on, buddy.
You are a psycho.
Yeah. And a bottle of Jim Beam.
Yeah, and he's hammered.
Oh, of course. Well, I mean, that does sound kind of fun with a Rambo knife, but You know, you get the other people around with their guns, and I don't know. I just that would spook me out of some hunting situations. Sure has already. Okay, there it is. Two guys, one booth. Chief, we got a sports hodgepodge coming up next. Where are you taking
us? Yeah, we got some football leftovers, including my new favorite coach in all of sports, plus the Arch Manning showboating next in the nation.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Shoot, yeah, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Yeah, here's Chief with your evening hodgepodge.
We have a new segment where we ask the question, is this Cowboys defense really that bad? And the answer is always yes.
Yes.
13 completions, 5 passing touchdowns of 25 or more yards, the most the Cowboys have allowed over the first 3 games of a season in the last 45 years.
Used to be a problem with the rush defense, huh?
Yeah. Yeah,
run defense. Like historically, they always had a bad run defense.
Yeah, they traded problems when they moved on from Micah. And again, I don't know that Micah's solving all of these problems. Actually, I know for a fact he's definitely not, because the secondary really is that bad. But nonetheless, here we are. Bill Barnwell, quarterbacks versus the Cowboys, 80 QBR, mm-hmm. which means quarterbacks are giving their team basically an 80% chance to win those games when they play the Cowboys.
That's all pro level.
Absolutely. 10 yards per attempt.
Mm. Ouch.
Those same quarterbacks against everyone else have a 41 QBR, so they're half as good from a QBR standpoint versus every other team. And they are throwing for 6 yards per attempt as opposed to the 10 yards per attempt. That, I mean, they're literally making quarterbacks twice as good versus them compared to everybody else.
I mean, just look at Russell Wilson from weeks 1 and 3 and then what he did against you in week 2.
Absolutely shocking.
Jalen Hurts must be thinking, wow, I really should have been a lot more aggressive against these guys.
Yeah.
Could have padded my stats a little bit.
Totally, dude. I mean, it took desperation mode for the Eagles to start throwing the ball a little bit yesterday. Maybe we'll get to that here in a second. I think the guy that I feel worse for, though, of all players in the NFL, is there a guy in the NFL right now you just feel the crappiest for? Your heart goes out to him.
Besides Tyler Booker?
Besides Tyler Booker.
CD.
Besides CD. It's going to be
Cooper Beebe.
Yeah.
Are you talking about an injury? Are you talking about a player or coaches or something like that?
I'm talking about a player who's just got no help. His name is Ashton Jeanty.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Hit at or behind the line of scrimmage on 11 of his 17 rushes versus Washington. Jeanty has now been hit at or behind the line on 57% of his rush attempts this season. I believe he has, in terms of percentage of rushing yards to come after contact, 101% of his yards are after contact.
Wow, that's something. I wonder if Ryan Clark knows that. He said over the weekend that he doesn't have the it factor.
Yeah.
I was wondering if he had seen any of Ashton Jeanty's actual runs, because I would say he does have the it factor.
Yeah.
When are we going to get the Ryan Clark apology?
He's good at that.
His favorite thing.
Soon.
Take a shot and then apologize. Yeah, he's Jeanty's rushed for 144 yards this season with 145 yards after contact. Like, it's really, really sad what that Raiders offensive
and
line is.
And I will
right
say, because I've watched a lot of them, I will say that his ability to run and hit guys and keep going isn't the same as college, obviously. he's getting hit and still slowed down, but he bounces off guys. Yeah, his center of gravity, I mean, I'm sure you guys have already seen all this stuff, but happening at the NFL level, it's there. It is there to have multiple All-Pro seasons for him.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't have that disgusting of an offensive line.
Yeah,
it's just crazy what the Raiders are running out there right now. I do feel bad for Marvin Harrison Jr., but not because his surroundings. It's really just because of him.
The drops were killers. Not good for my fantasy team.
I mean, he dropped. It could have been like a 75-yard touchdown pass.
Unbelievable.
That he dropped.
What's
and then
happening
Fred
to
Warner's
him? By the way,
I mean that's a Yips thing.
Targets.
That's a Yips thing.
And yesterday it was the drops.
When you're dropping wide open balls like that,
wow,
that's a Yips thing, dude. And I'm sure that Cardinals fans are taking it very well, but. He is. I mean, on the same day where you have Emeka Egbuka, one of his teammates from college, catching just ridiculous one hand. Like, how did you do that?
Savage.
He's dropping easy money balls.
Trying to run before he gets it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely some elements to
that. Keep
your
eye off the ball.
Got to keep your eye on the ball, Marvin.
I'm interested.
The Broncos offense had 9 total first downs yesterday, the second fewest by any team in a game this season. They are just anxiously awaiting that Cowboys game on their schedule to get their offense going. Through 3 weeks, they rank 31st in offensive success rate, ahead of only the Houston Texans.
Maybe we're right about that quarterback.
I think so.
Maybe your two's looking better. I mean, the last 2 weeks, they could be 3-0, lost in heartbreaking fashion.
They've lost back-to-back games on final.
That field goal.
Yeah, the one in Indianapolis was on a penalty, leverage penalty, yeah.
I did love the Packers offensive lineman claiming that he thinks the Packers could be going undefeated this season shortly before losing to the Browns.
You just can't say it out loud.
Life comes at you so fast in the NFL, and I did love watching the Packers blow that game. How is Matthew Golden not going for like a 95-yard touchdown on that play where he catches it on the sideline and then he just volunteers himself out of bounds? I don't know what that was.
He had money on the game.
But I absolutely loved seeing it. We're obviously rooting for the Packers to lose as many games as possible as the Cowboys have their first-round pick.
They might lose out.
Quentin Johnston of the Chargers, now former TCU Horned Frog.
Electric.
Out of nowhere. I think Marvin Harrison might need to pick up the phone and ask Quentin what he did. What did you do to overcome your dropsies? Because he's on pace right now for 79 catches. Over 1,300 yards and 17 touchdowns.
Got a touchdown in every game.
The Chargers are legit, dude. I mean, that is really legit. The Chiefs have something to worry about when it comes to those Chargers and just their own game themselves. Yeah. Like, they beat the Giants, but they don't really look good doing it. Their offense is tough to watch. It was pretty insane to watch Pat Mahomes throw the ball behind the line of scrimmage and then go and steal the ball back.
That
after
was kind
the
of
linebacker
crazy,
recovered it. And Chris Collinsworth loves him some Pat Mahomes.
I think the issue there is, like, not only did they lose to the Eagles, but two out of their three games, Vic Fangio has put on tape the blueprint for slowing down the Chiefs. So if anybody wasn't paying attention or thinking we could do things our own way, Vic Fangio is spelling it out. Here's what you do.
Do you guys have the stomach to hear Merrill Reese's call of the?
No,
of the,
please don't play it.
We don't want to play that.
I do
right?
not want to hear that.
Hall of Famer, we don't want to hear.
Probably
from the
have
Hall
to hear it tomorrow.
But it is crazy that the Eagles' offense was, through a good chunk of that game, averaging under 2 yards per play. And then all of a sudden, they realized, wait, we do have A.J. Brown. We can go ahead and just throw him the football. And then he ends up with 6 receptions for 109 yards and a touchdown in the second half. Maybe they've unlocked things here because it was getting brutal. We were having so much fun watching the first 2.5 quarters or whatever of that game. And then the Eagles just went on and did the thing that is so very, very annoying and very frustrating. Okay, let's go ahead and take you to some college football. What did you guys think initially when you saw Arch Manning getting a little unsportsmanlike after scoring a touchdown on the Sam Houston State
linebacker? I
thought,
man, that's pathetic to flex on a team that's not in the same league as you are.
Thought it was 3 weeks of frustration boiling over. Let him know.
Now, did you see, because, I mean, when I saw it, I was like, really? That's how we're going to do this thing? I understand you're in the throes of competition. You're fired up. And like you said, Walchuk, a lot of pent-up frustration.
Sure, yeah, I could see that. Like, finally, I got something going, and I'm fired up. Maybe I had an extra pre-workout before the game coursing through my veins.
Yeah, he is a little bit psychotic when he's fired up. We've seen some of that, ripping his helmet off there on the sideline and screaming. But then Cole Kublik pointed out via the All-22 tape earlier in the game, that same guy that that Arch Manning was kind of getting unsportsmanlike with, had a nice little tackle on Arch and then kind of stepped over him, looked at him, and probably shared a few words to him.
Ooh.
So I think that was sort of a redemption dunking on the defender.
Iverson and Ty Lue type stuff?
Yeah, yeah, it had some elements to that for sure. Now,
so the broadcast could have saved him by showing us that clip instead of just showing us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Him doing that onto some junior hires, basically, yeah, over and over again. Yeah,
we need context.
Yeah, a little context there for
just
sure.
A little bit,
because yeah,
I think the same thing happened to Mahomes the previous week in that play where he hulked up on that guy on the sideline, maybe caught him. A few plays earlier, he felt like he'd been done dirty.
Yes, and that it was that Chargers game. It was that week one in Brazil. Yeah. Chargers guy had gotten him pretty good, so he was returning the favor there. So it happens. It's football, but definitely good for Longhorns fans to see that Arch Manning isn't completely broken.
Nope.
It was versus, obviously, one of the weakest opponents they will ever face, but he looks like, okay, he can still do a little something. Now, what is it, the Gators this weekend for them?
No, I think they're off.
Next week it will be Florida.
Yeah, next week they'll play Florida.
Okay. Yeah, and this is going to be a heck of a college football Saturday.
This is a big one.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. But the guy that I want to show a little bit of love to right now, maybe my new favorite coach. This dude's unbelievable. And his name is Biff Hoagie, which is an all-time name.
It's sounds like a great sandwich shop.
Yeah. Like, is Biff short for something? Or were we making just straight up Biffs on the birth certificate Biffs at one point in our country's pastime?
I've never heard of
it. I mean, the only reason somebody's called Biff now is because of Back to the Future. Hey, Biff, get your damn hands off her.
Biff Pogi, man. This guy's
a nickname.
This guy's incredible. Okay, it is a nickname. So what do we know what his real name is?
Francis.
Francis Biff Pogi.
Francis or Xavier.
he is very excited after the Wolverines beat Walchuk's Nebraska Cornhuskers. And
thought that Hail Mary was it.
This is my favorite clip of the weekend.
What are you going to do tonight to celebrate?
I'm going to eat some Haagen-Dazs coffee ice cream with my wife and smoke a Cuban cigar and then probably go to the hospital.
Probably go to the hospital.
How about that for some honesty there?
Yeah.
Old Biff Pogi, dude. And now he's got a fan in me forever. Biff Pogi of the Michigan Wolverines. I am I'm really impressed with this guy. Yeah, when you look at Saturday, you're going to get the Ryder Cup stuff going down. You get USC, Illinois. How about USC, by the way? USC's playing some football.
They got a receiver that's pretty good.
They got a few guys, man. Even their defense.
That's stunning.
That is stunning.
Playing defense? What?
LSU and Ole Miss brought us.
Yeah, I'm not feeling great about this one right now.
Uh-oh.
Top
10 matchup?
Yeah, LSU very much a kind of an overrated third.
Their resume gets worse by the day when Clemson being as bad as they are.
They haven't. Florida's gone south. Clemson's gone south, and then they've played two schools they absolutely should beat. So they're a 4-0 team right now. I think defensively they've got some things that that can carry them. Their quarterback hasn't been great. They don't run the ball particularly well, and so they really it's. Offensive line has struggled a little bit with some protection. But, yeah, Ole Miss is playing really, really well. This is one of those kind of revenge games. When Ole Miss and LSU get together, it kind of goes back and forth, how one team takes advantage of the other. But this one is in Oxford, and I think it's going to be a problem for LSU.
Well, that linebacker, we just had a soft launch, Lane Kiffin's daughter.
I know. Okay, I was going to ask about
the linebacker weeks. Weeks.
What is going on here?
There's three Weeks brothers that play at LSU.
Yeah, well, Witt's,
she's got one of them tied down.
The older one.
Okay.
And it's Witt.
So you have Lane Kiffin, head coach of Ole Miss, getting set to take on LSU. Lane Kiffin's daughter just hard launched the boyfriend who is a linebacker for LSU.
Right.
On game week.
On
game week.
I don't know what the gamesmanship is here. Is this getting in her own dad's head? Or is this
added fuel?
Is this fueling LSU fans to be like, yeah.
Does she go to school at Mississippi?
I think she does.
I think so too.
She probably goes there for free.
Landry. That's a weird deal when you're dating somebody from across the conference. It's just unstable, it seems like. But that might be some daughter revenge type of stuff.
Yeah.
You got to be careful as a dad how you handle the dating, because next thing you know, they'll be trolling you with who they're dating.
And that's what this kind of feels like.
You try to get too heavy-handed, they're like, watch this, dad.
Yeah, but he's probably going to find a way to get that linebacker into some...
Oh, yeah, he's got to be exposed.
Advantageous situations for the offense. I can't wait to see that match.
The Weeks brothers have been outstanding for LSU.
So he is a dang good player.
Which is going to be an NFL guy? First or second round?
Yeah, he is a really good football player.
The game within the game. We look forward to that. So that'll be a 2:30 kick. But then you get Auburn A&M.
And that could be a sticky one for A&M. Auburn's coming off a loss.
Yeah, Alabama-Georgia at the nightcap.
Yeah, that's a nightcapper.
Oregon-Penn State.
Oregon-Penn State at the same time. That's going to be a juggle situation.
Good thing I got three TVs.
Walchuk, I might have to come over for that one, bro, because Oregon-Penn State's going to be awesome, and then Alabama-Georgia, it doesn't get too much better than that.
That's amazing.
Indiana and Iowa. How about Indiana?
Yeah.
Cignetti, bro.
Mendoza,
their quarterback. He's going to be somebody to keep an eye on when it comes to draft season.
No doubt.
No question. All right, and then we get the Monday night matchup tonight, Ravens and Lions. How about Lamar Jackson? Including the playoffs, Lamar Jackson has had 10 straight games with multiple passing touchdowns and 10-plus yards rushing.
Does he have an incredible record against NFC opponents, too?
He does, yeah.
He's got one loss, and I think it's to the Giants.
I love a night game in Baltimore when they're wearing their all blacks. Oh my gosh.
Amazing.
And after the way Detroit looked last week, this should be a pretty fun game. But yeah, Lamar Jackson with 10 straight games, multiple passing touchdowns, and 10-plus yards rushing. That's the longest such streak by any player in NFL history.
Ravens favored by 4.5. It seems right, but man, that's a lot of points for a quality outfit like Detroit is. Over under 53.5. Both teams coming in at 1-1.
Aiden Hutchinson looks really good too. I think he's the sack numbers.
Deep boy.
Yeah. I think this is going to be the Ravens are going to have some tough handles on that one, I think.
All right. We have Fred VanVleet torn ACL, might miss the season. Bruce Pearl stepped down after 11 seasons coaching Auburn. His son is going to take over. You have Nick Bosa out for the year with a torn ACL. Najee Harris out for the year as well. I believe he got his Achilles. So a lot has happened here in this world of sport, and we look forward to one more segment with you. We'll chat with Fred and Blake, see what the Fan After Dark has cooking here for you, coming up from 8 to 11. Of course, the Cowboys Hour, Kevontae Turpin is the guest with Kyle Yeomans coming up at 7 o'clock here on 105.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
5-3 The Fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Kevontae Turpin coming up with Kyle Yeomans in the Cowboy Hour, 7 to 8, and the Fan After Dark here with Fred and Blake. Gentlemen, how you doing?
To be honest, I got scared when you said Kevontae Turpin. I thought you were about to say another injury. I thought you were about to say Kevontae Turpin's hurt, too. So it's just been a rough day, man, being a Cowboys fan. It's been a rough day. Really have gotten no good news. Overshown, I don't know if he's ever coming back. Bland, we don't know when he's coming back. All we get is injury news. So I don't feel great. You know, I feel good to be with you boys. Yeah. But as far as being a Cowboys enthusiast, it's not a very good time to be here.
You know, it's tough because at some point you got to decide the Cowboys results are not going to affect my mood. And sometimes it's easier said than done.
Right.
But Kevontae Turpin got lit up at least once and then thrown to the ground. I would not be surprised if he had been hurt.
Yeah.
But he's tough.
And when I was watching that game, I go, Blake, you said this all offseason. The Cowboys aren't going to be that good. The defense is going to be bottom five. Why are you surprised at all? And I think it's because they kept the Eagles close in week one.
Yeah.
It brought me back a little bit because I had no hope for the season. Then week one, I was like, okay, maybe we overreacted. Maybe this team's not going to be as bad as we thought they would. And then they get a gritty win in week two. Didn't look good, but they won nonetheless. National Football League. So I had a tiny sliver of like, okay, maybe this team won't be bottom 10. Maybe they'll be somewhat competitive, and then we saw what they
were. Bears, right?
Do you guys have any room in your consideration for, hey, this is the new NFL. September is the new preseason.
I've been saying that for years. I've been saying that for years. This has been going on for about 4 or 5 years when teams just stop playing their starters in the preseason. I mean, because we've been doing 3 preseason games for what? About 4 or 5 years, right? And so, I mean.
And the Cowboys play less than anybody.
And they play fewer than anybody, right? And so you got that going on. And, you know, you've got another new head coach. You've got an entirely new regime. And you've got your third defensive coordinator in 3 years, and you're adapting to the fact that you can't draft for squat, right? I mean, that's the one thing. You guys said something yesterday on the postgame show that I think has – I don't know that we've touched on near enough is, you know, we love to laud Will McClay.
Yeah.
All right? I mean, that 2023 draft is awful.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, that team – that 2023 draft has set this team back 3 or 4 years. And because you can't hit, I mean, let's call it what it is. DeMarvian Overshown right now,
he is
a bust. Okay? Let's be real. Yeah. I mean, again, not a playing bust, but he cannot stay healthy. Yeah. Okay? I don't care if he's good when he's on the field. He's not on the field that much.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Jalen Tolbert's not good. Mozzie Smith shouldn't be on this team. Luke Schoonmaker shouldn't be on this football team. All right? Like that entire 2023 draft class is gone. Okay, so think about what that looks like in terms of an NFL team where you've got an entire draft. You might as well be the Saints. What was that year that they traded all their draft picks away for Ricky Williams? Yeah. Okay, that's essentially what you did, but you didn't get a running back in return. You got nothing. And that's where you're at right now. Jack Sanborn is awful.
Yeah. See, the thing with Sanborn, I was talking to my friend who's a Bears fan about this. Sanborn, I don't think is awful, but he should not be on the field 80% of snaps.
No, he's awful.
He's a backup guy. When you play him 30, 40% of snaps, maybe he'll look better. The fact that you're depending on him to be one of your star linebackers, you see the results and why he was a backup in Chicago. Kenneth Murray got cut, from the Chargers and went to Tennessee. And a fine player. Like, a lot of these guys in the Cowboys are fine C-minus
Damone Clark getting players.
But when you ask
yesterday.
Them, like, hey, I need you to be the focal point of our defense. I need you to be a starter and play a bunch of snaps. You see what happens against the Bears. There's not very many players on this Cowboys defense that should be getting as many snaps as they are, but the Cowboys don't really have a choice. It's the personnel they got right now.
Has anything happened, Brian? Because it's not just that draft. It's pretty much every draft. And we'll see how good this one is. I'm pretty sure Tyler Booker was a big hit, but we don't know about Revel or Ezeraku at this point. Has anything changed, or is it just the luck cycles?
I think it's just that, you know, it's the evaluation of it. We'll see what happens with Revel, you know, but the whole thing with Ezeraku, I personally, when I was watching tape, you know, Ezeraku, you look at it wasn't just, I mean, his numbers were legit in Boston College. It wasn't like he was rushing in Division III or something
that.
I mean,
he's solid.
He was legitimately, and he was one of the better pass. He doesn't look like the same guy. And that's why I thought the learning curve for him would be kind of small, because he does know how to rush the passer. But man, the way they're rushing the passer right now as a group, and that's Sam Williams included. We were talking about it today.
Yeah.
Kind of rushing like he's a 5 technique, like he's a head up, extend, 2 gap, and then run up the field and try. There's no winning off the ball. There's no like dipping underneath. There's no, you know, they're not playing with any type of real explosiveness, and they're not making anybody have to struggle to block them. You know, on the film, you can see it. They're doubling your tackles. They're doubling Osa and they're doubling
Kenny Clark. Why wouldn't you?
And they're playing, they're letting their offensive tackles just single block the edges.
An adjustment has to come for Eberflus. Eberflus is a cover 2 guy, put 2 guys back there and rush the passer with 4. So what he does is what he's been doing his whole career. And you can get away with that when you have a star pass rusher, i.e. Michael Parsons, who you moved on from. We get it. You have to do something because none of those guys are getting any pressure at any point. And then you throw a stunt, you throw a blitz, and they're not executing that very well. So there's no real rhythm or like, hey, when you blitz, you can do this on third down. It's important to get off the field. You can drop this many guys in coverage, or you can stack the box. There's really been no rhythm or way that the defense has shown promise. There's not been a single coverage that I've said.
They've shown promise playing the run.
Playing the run, they have looked good.
Yeah, and this is there. And if we go back 5, 6 years, this team's Achilles heel was playing run defense. Mm-hmm. But the problem is right now, and I think the biggest problem is, I think the health of their secondary is poor right now, and then also the lack of pass rush. I think those are the two things that are killing them the most.
Yep. Is your Houston heart aching tonight with the Fred VanVleet injury? Fred, sorry about that.
double Fred and Houston. I
hate to see a Fred go down like that.
You do, because there ain't many of us left. A lot of good Freds out there in the world. But
the last good one was Fred Rogers.
Hey, this is a damn G-Bag of the Day champion you're talking to right now.
That's exactly it.
Put some respect on his name.
Yeah, he's like, welcome in Houston.
What was this? I said H-Town.
What was this 20-minute debate you guys had that Lucius was telling us
about? Last Thursday, me and Fred were doing our little NFL around stack. the NFL stack, and the first headline that I'd written down
there. Kansas City, wasn't he?
It was Patrick Mahomes shows up on the injury report with a right wrist injury, and Fred was like, didn't even see it, not concerned. Yeah.
I wasn't. And did you see, did he look concerned last night? No. So he rage baited me, and I took the bait.
What about Andy Reid and Kelsey?
For 18 whole minutes, he took that bait.
Yeah, I did.
He put the bait down and picked it back up again.
We went back and
spit
forth.
Blake reeled it in and threw it back out.
No, he did. He absolutely did.
I know his pressure points, especially when it comes to the Chiefs.
He absolutely does.
And I try to get him to commit to an answer as well.
And I did commit. I committed several times.
I think he called me out preseason when I said the Chiefs' run is over.
I did. And we're 3 weeks into the season.
You might be getting dug in here.
Nah, we're 3 weeks into the season, okay? We are 3 weeks into the NFL season, all right? Because I think we're all – think about it. I think Philadelphia's a lot better than people thought, right?
Right? Philly's better than people thought? I wouldn't say that.
Kind of mid.
I would not say they're better than we thought.
Okay, so because where'd you guys have the Rams at this year? Pretty good team?
Rams were going to win the West.
So the Rams are supposed to be good. Oh, okay, so now they're not that good anymore.
I didn't
got unlucky.
I didn't say the Rams.
Make your mind up. What are we doing? What fence are we riding here on the Philadelphia Eagles?
I didn't say the Rams weren't good.
This is what I'm talking about, where everybody's trying to diminish. We can't decide.
We can't even talk.
This is deflecting. I'm sick of it.
This is deflecting. I think your therapist can walk you through this.
Philadelphia is a good football team. The Chargers are a good football team. You lost to them both by a score.
Okay.
I mean, you're down your top two wide receivers. I mean, get out of here with this nonsense. Get out of here with this nonsense. Hey, you're damn right.
The only thing that he goes is the wide receivers.
That's all I need. How'd the Cowboys office look yesterday without CeeDee Lamb?
Pretty bad.
Thank you.
But CeeDee Lamb is way better than the guys the Chiefs are missing.
I mean, Rashee Rice is a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL.
Man, he's pretty good. It's debatable.
Yeah. I mean, Xavier Worthy would be a number two on 80-90% of rosters in the NFL.
This guy loves the Chiefs.
Okay. Of course I do. I'm from there. I've been a Chiefs fan before it was cool to be one.
How many did the Cowboys score against the Giants?
Oh, what was that, 37? 40?
And how many did the Chiefs get yesterday?
22.
Yeah. Well, like 9 or 10 in the fourth? It was all late. Garbage time.
So. Win's a win, right?
Oh, now wins a win. Okay, now it's just well, good, I mean, what, doesn't matter how you do it Dawson. Now. Doesn't matter how you
that's
do it
good
now.
Point.
I see what you're doing. I see how Blake knows so easily. Yeah. I mean, this is like near rage.
Yes, this is for 20 minutes.
I just get tired of it. That,
it feels like so much pent up Chiefs anger.
You know what? I've been without my vehicle for three weeks. Okay, I've been without my vehicle for 3 weeks. I get my truck back tomorrow. My daughter's on my last nerve. There's a lot of outside stuff going on besides radio. You guys got older kids, okay? My daughter wants me to take this damn dog for 10 months. I might as well have a kid in Blake.
What kind of dog you got?
It's a Great Dane boxer mix that she needs to foster. It's a huge dog. I told her I couldn't take it. And now we're fighting over it. Seriously.
Yeah, I mean,
so you know what?
Giant dumps.
There's no limit to what a daughter feels entitled to from her dad.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I mean, I'm driving down there to move her tomorrow, for God's sake.
And you had the crazy weekend. You were caught up in the DFW airport thing?
Yes. I didn't get to go see my son. He sprains his ankle. It's been a mess.
Is Mahomes-Kelsey chemistry, is it gone, Fred?
I don't know. You know what?
Did you watch the game?
I don't care. Okay. You know what they want?
I think the chemistry might be there.
Who's your team, Blake? Who's your team?
Fan of the game.
Shut up.
All 32. Fan of the game.
Fan of the game.
He's Rob Lowe in the stands with the NFL shield hat on.
I got to remember that one. Fan of the game.
It's hard to be a fan of these Cowboys, especially with the news today. Tyler Booker and CeeDee Lamb are both going to be out probably 4 to 6 weeks. All hope might be lost. What do you guys have coming up on the show tonight?
We've got a beautiful show. We only have 3 hours tonight because we do have the Cowboys hour, but a lot of NFL news to talk about that we've been doing already. Yeah. What 3-0 teams are legit? A little bit of Fred lines as well, and then we're going to try to get a guest on, or maybe we'll let the Tolos do a little talk and see how they're feeling.
You could probably chat about what Chris Young told us earlier today. Don't know if you guys caught it.
No, what happened?
We asked him about the luxury tax, or specifically Wolchuk did, and he said, we don't know, we'll see the final numbers, but either way, we're not going to be spending as much as we have. and he tipped his cap to ownership for spending as much as they have over the last 3 years, but maybe that's the end of it.
More Michael Hellmans and Sam Haggerty's.
Wow. That's...
I mean, you give me a Jock Peterson for $18 million and he hits 180. I think Ray's looking at it like we got to go back into build and develop mode. And, you know, CY says the championship window is still open, but they're going to have to do it more with
you gonna get a closer?
And developing. And
don't ask that question.
Are you going to get a closer?
Chief asked that question, and it came back, like, swatted it back at you.
Thanks to Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup over there, Master Control. Just went 5 flawless. The Cowboys Hour coming up next with Kevontae Turpin joining Kyle Yeomans. Thanks to Woolchuck and Chiafalo, your Nosebleed brothers, and Carter Freeman coordinating your video. And thanks to Broadus. I'm Gavin Dawson. Until tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the Nation Eddies.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.